Listening Library presents On the Block, Stories of Home, edited by Ellen O. Read for you by Yasmin Mwanza, Ellie Schiff, Ulka Simone Mohanty, Jen Zhao, Jordan Diaz, Rand Ferris, Oscar Emmanuel Fabella, Nakia Renee Martin, Sarah Scare, Hui Win, Dominique Salvachon, and Raymond J. Lee, with a foreword written and read by Meg Medina, and a letter to readers written and read by Ellen O.
To everyone whose home is not a place, but the love of the people surrounding you, Ellen O. Dear listener, growing up in Brooklyn, New York, I lived in an apartment building that was over 50% new immigrants. Every day, I would hear different languages spoken in the lobby and all over the building. Russian, Chinese, Urdu, Spanish, Hindi, Italian, Yiddish, Tagalog, and Greek, to list just a few. And the aroma of all these amazing cuisines would waft down the hallways. They were incredible. I was lucky enough to make friends with my Filipino, Greek, and Indian neighbors, and the dishes they would share with me started my lifelong obsession with food. That was where I lived. That was home. And while my apartment building was in Brooklyn, there are similar buildings across the United States, filled with families from around the world and also from right here in America. We continue to be a country of immigrants, and it is truly one of our defining strengths as a nation. Not a negative or something to be frightened of, but something to take pride in. Apartment buildings like the one in On the Block have welcomed so many immigrants to their new country, providing them not just with first homes, but with friendship, support, and stability. And sometimes they are simply places for people to feel safe, to make friends, to build communities, and to call home. Welcome to the Entrada, Ellen O.
Foreword. I've always loved apartment buildings. I grew up in a four-story walk-up in Queens, New York. It had 5 units to a landing, housing 20 families in all. I remember so many of my neighbors clearly. The Millers, whose pretty granddaughter, Beverly, sometimes came to visit and became an instant playmate. A Vietnam War vet who had sad eyes. An Avon lady in worn Keds who gave out lipstick samples. An old Russian couple who had survived World War II. Rosa, the single mom from Mexico. The lady on the first floor who owned a drooling boxer that my mother never trusted. Together, we were tenants, neighbors, and occasionally friends who shared a mailroom, a front stoop to cool off on hot evenings, and thin walls that offered us, for better or worse, glimpses into each other's lives. While reading On the Block, I found myself thinking back to the many wonderful things I learned as part of that community. The stories in this book are interrelated, much the way neighbors in a building are interrelated. The narrators share an address, but they also intersect in other more interesting ways with the people who live on the other side of their living room walls. Their families are from different backgrounds. They speak a range of languages. They worship differently. Some have enough money to meet their needs, and others have little to get by on. There are secret crushes, rivalries, and misunderstandings. But they all call their building home. And the beauty of their shared home does not come from any single person, but instead from the sum of their experiences. I hope you'll enjoy peeking into their apartment windows, metaphorically, of course, as much as I did. Meg Medina, National Ambassador for Young People's Literature, 2023 through 2024.
Apartment 5B. So this was it, their new home. Lila stared up at the yellow building. It was pretty, plenty of plants around, and lots of interesting stores nearby. But their new home was an apartment building, and she had never lived in an apartment before. She had no idea exactly how many people lived in the Entrada. That was the name of the building. Who even knew that buildings had names? Back in Trinidad, she could count the inhabitants of her house, which did not have a name, on one hand. Her mom, her dad, herself, and their dog, Padna. Padna couldn't come to the United States with them. Padna was too old to travel and had to be left behind. Now she belonged to Lila's cousins, Derek and Naima, and Lila belonged in an apartment where any dog was going to be unhappy, because where were they going to run around or do their business? She sighed and followed her parents up, up, up to their new apartment, 5B.
Well, this makes sense, Lila said.
What does? Her dad asked.
Lila shook her head.
Nothing.
The nothing she wanted to keep to herself was that the number of their apartment, 5B, seemed to be part of a theme. B for better, her parents' favorite word since they announced they were going to be moving, not to another house, not to another town, but to another country, which meant that everything Lila knew, she was about to leave behind, including Padna. None of that was better. It was very much the worst. Her parents had tried to be reassuring.
It'll be better once we get everything packed up. Things will be better after we get over there. Everything will go better when we have our own place and we're not staying by Tanti Veronica.
That last one was true. Tanti Veronica's had been a squeeze. She was her mother's aunt and had lived in the United States since she was a teen. By the looks of it, everything she had ever acquired since she'd moved to the United States was stuffed into her very small house. At least Tanti Veronica had a house. The Entrada apartment building was something a whole lot different. It took them about an hour to unpack, because they had barely anything. They'd sold most of what they had, even some of Lila's old toys. Now they were starting again from scratch.
It's an adventure, right? Her mom said.
Her voice echoed around the empty living room.
It'll feel better once we get some furniture.
Then the sun sank behind some of the buildings, and the room slowly went dark. Dad reached over and flipped the nearest light switch. Nothing happened.
Looks like we'll need some bulbs, he said.
I guess it'll be better when we get some lights, Lila said.
Her dad laughed, then her mom, then she couldn't help laughing too. That weekend, her mom took them on a crowded crosstown bus to a flea market. It was in a large, open parking lot. Tables were spread out, covered with things that looked like discards from people's lives. Old furniture pieces, paintings in well-aged frames, bookends, needlepoint pillows, scraps of fabric and yarn, plenty of vintage clothing, and several old toys waiting to be reloved. Behind them, the sellers looked out, eager to pass off what they had. It reminded Lila of the open markets in Trinidad, where people sold fruit and vegetables. The difference was that stuff was fresh. Everything at the flea market looked worn, rickety, and dusty. Definitely not better.
This
is amazing, her dad said.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?